Do you remember who Ada and Zilla are? My guess is you probably don't. I, in full transparency, did not. And that's part of the reason why we're going through the women of the Old Testament. If you want to find out who they are and what significance they played in scripture, stay tuned.
Do you sometimes doubt if you're truly hearing God's voice or if it's really your own? Or have you been in a season where it feels like he's completely silent? Have you been praying for a way to learn how to hear his voice more clearly? Hey friends, I'm Rachel, host of the Hearing Jesus podcast. If you are ready to grow in your faith and to confidently step into your identity in Christ, then join me as we dig deep into God's word so you can learn to live out your faith in your everyday life.
Hey friends, welcome back to the Hearing Jesus podcast. I'm your host, Rachel, and today we are going through our Women of the Old Testament series, and we're going through Genesis. And the next set of women that we learn about their names are Ada and Zillah. And like I said at the beginning of the show, in full transparency, I did not remember these two. And there was some temptation to skip them, to be perfectly honest, because their stories are not that great. But I want to make sure that we recognize that not all of the stories in the Bible are necessarily things that we're supposed to take away as people that we're supposed to be like. Sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes God is trying to show us what happens when we're not paying attention to his rules and his boundaries and the things that he's had in place for us. And so their story picks up in Genesis chapter 4. I'm going to read through it starting at verse 13, and then we're going to talk about it. So Genesis 4, I'm reading from the NIV today. It says, "Cain said to the Lord, 'My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me.' But the Lord said to him, 'Not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over.' Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Cain made love to his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Cain was then building a city, and he named it after his son Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad was the father of Mahujael, and Mahujael was the father of Methushael. I apologize, these names, you know. And Methushael was the father of Lamech. Lamech married two women, and one named Ada and the other Zillah. Ada gave birth to Jabal. He was the father of those who live in tents and raise livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all who played stringed instruments and pipes. Zillah also had a son, Tubal-Cain, who forged all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron. Tubal-Cain's sister was Naamah. Lamech said to his wives, 'Ada and Zillah, listen to me. Wives of Lamech, hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times.'" Now, there's a lot going on here. I want to make sure that we don't miss. First of all, who was Lamech? Well, Lamech was the great-great-great-great grandson of Cain. He's in Cain's line of his generations. And if you remember, Cain was the brother that killed Abel. So Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel, and Cain killed Abel. And then eventually Adam and Eve also had Seth, and he was said to be the replacement son for Abel. And just a reminder that when we read some of these stories of the Bible, we do not use their stories as a justification for our own sin. It's not like when we read their story, when we read about Cain killing his brother, that we can say, yes, it's okay for us to kill our brother because it's in the Bible. There's lots of bad things in the Bible. There's lots of sin in the Bible. And so we don't copy the people of the Bible. We copy the God of the Bible. We don't justify our actions based off of what people in the Bible did. We follow what God says to do, but we can learn lessons from them. And that's what the story of Ada and Zillah is for us. So there's this depiction of humanity and the sin that came as a result of the fall. And the sin is following Cain's line. That's where we start to see this idea of generational sins. We see this sin passed down from Cain all the way through to Lamech. And so in Genesis 4:19, Lamech, who is of Cain's line, he becomes the first polygamist in Hebrew history, and he marries both Ada and Zillah. Now, there are two schools of thought. on one hand, you have a set of scholars that would say that this was Ada and Zillah's decision. And then on the other school of thought is you have scholars that would say, no, this was Lamech's decision. Now, Ada's name meant ornament, pleasure, beauty. Zillah's name meant shade, and scholars think that that is some sort of referral to her hair. And it says that he took two wives. In the original language, it says that he took two wives. And so I tend to think that this was not necessarily their decision. It was more his decision, because we know in that culture, it was the men that had the power. Many of the Hebrew scholars believe that he took one wife for procreation to have children and the other one for pleasure. Now, we can't confirm that or deny that, but we do know that eventually both of them had children. And though that might have seemed fun for him and it might have seemed like the thing that he wanted to do, it made a wreck of not just the women's lives, but marriage for centuries. Because even though he was the first one to have a polygamous relationship, he was not the last one. And from that example came this long history of marital confusion and conflict and disobedience to God. Because just like now, once a custom is started, it's really hard to stop it. It becomes part of the culture. And so you see one person do it, then other people copy it, similar to what we're seeing in today's time with the perversion of marriage. And so we then see different men of God fall into that same trap. We see Jacob and David and others in the scriptures who are good, godly men fall into this trap of polygamy. And there was consequences for that in their lives, just like there's consequences for us when we fall into sin. And it's not that God doesn't forgive us, but we certainly still have to deal with the consequences of our sin. And so the Bible describes Ada and Zillah's children, but it doesn't really tell us a whole lot about them. But if we know about Hebrew history, which we do, we know that they probably didn't have a very smooth life, because God's intention was for man and woman to be one husband and one wife. We read about that back in Genesis chapter 2. In the NIV, I'll read it. It says, Genesis 2, 23 and 24, "The man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man.' That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh." So the idea of one flesh, marriage between one man and one woman, was God's design. And so what we learn from this story is that those who disobey God, they pay a price. And so marital harmony and this idea of what marriage should be, this relationship between man and woman, was probably not part of what their experience was, because when you involve three people where there's only supposed to be two, there's inevitably going to be conflict. And so we don't know if this was their arrangement and they plotted this. We know that the scripture says that Lamech took two wives. There may have been reasons for that. There was more women than men at that time frame. Women needed protection. But if this was on them, instead of trusting God in that scenario, they kind of created their own way. If this was on him, he was ignoring God's standard in that time frame. And either way, it was a direct conflict with what God had designed. It's interesting too, because while we don't necessarily know what the exact circumstances are, I think about this in terms of some of the polygamous relationships that we see now. And it's true of human basic psychology that you attract your same level of function or dysfunction. And Lamech was operating within this sinful line, this sinful dysfunction. And so that brought new complications, new kinds of sin upon our human race that has never been extinguished. It's still going on. And even after the flood, it still continued to happen. Hey friends, I wanted to take a minute to share with you about one of our new partners, Five Lakes Coffee. For 20 years, Five Lakes has been helping people discover the magic of fresh roasted coffee. They craft roast in small batches, then ship direct so that you are getting the freshest and best tasting coffee. Five Lakes uses the highest quality specialty grade coffee beans from around the world. And let me tell you, we're kind of coffee snobs in my family, and their coffee has converted even my daughter, who is a barista. As a family family-owned and family-friendly company. I love their mission. As believers, our family loves supporting other Christian companies, and one of the things I absolutely love about this company is that they believe in loving their neighbors, and they value being good stewards of what God has given them. My two favorites are the Signature Five Lakes Blend and Chris's Blend, because for Chris's Blend, they donate $1 per bag to Forgotten Children's Ministry in Honduras. And guess what? As a podcast listener, you get an exclusive 20% off your first order when you use the code HearingJesus. Head over to fivelakes.com and experience the joy of fresh roasted goodness today. Again, head to fivelakes.com and use code HearingJesus for 20% off your first order.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in the Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in the Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in the Raw through your favorite podcast app.
And it's interesting because Cain's line, which started with this murderous sin, was following this corrupt path. But if you follow the names and the genealogy of Seth, who was Adam's third son, there is a similar lineage, and there's actually even similar names. So if you were to write down all the names of the descendants of both Cain on one side and Seth on the other, you would see very similar names. And eventually you also get to another Enoch. But in Seth's line, Scripture says that Enoch was so holy that he walked with God and then was not. He didn't actually die. God just took him. So what a contrast between Seth's line, those that are keeping the commandments and obeying God, versus those that are being disobedient to God. It's so interesting. And so then we learn about the children. So the children, one of them, their name is Tubal-Cain, which is, again, named after Cain. He's in this line, and he becomes the caster of metal, which means that he likely created the first weapon. And then Lamech is then boasting about killing this young man that just wounded him. And then he talks about killing anyone who comes after him, which included his wives. And so we see the sins of the parents are passed down to the children. But here's the thing, that's not God's plan. That's the enemy's plan. One of the things that we've been talking about on the show recently is how there's this perversion of God's plan that the enemy offers. There's this counterfeit option that plays into our sinful nature that the enemy tries to offer us, but that is not God's plan. Cain killed his brother and he tried to hide it. But by now, several generations down the road, sin has overtaken this line and Lamech is proud of it. He brags about killing this guy. And Lamech's rebelliousness didn't limit itself to the marriage. We see that he's taking vengeance by killing this man. And like Cain, he is overreacting and he's failing to seek what God's design is for them. It's so sad because at this point you can see that he's completely blinded by his sin. So what can we learn then from Ada and Zillah's story? Well, we learn that it's really important to follow God's laws. Think about what it must have been like to live with that man that was so boastful about killing somebody. He was likely very angry. And think about what it would have been like to share your husband with somebody and then try to understand this commitment in marriage. It would have been so confusing. And so this is such a quick picture of the life of these two women, but it teaches us to let God control our choices in our marriage and to honor him in our marriage, because the seed of that offspring continued to be evil. And when we choose not the counterfeit version, but the real version of what God has for us, it will show a complete difference in our line. Now, you might be thinking, okay, I come from a line of really sinful people. I get it. I do too. I was the first Christian that I know of in my family line. So perhaps there was Christians farther back, but I didn't know about them. And when I say Christian, I'm not saying somebody that politically identifies as a Christian, but somebody that actually loves the Lord and makes a decision to follow him. I was the first one that I know of in my family line. And so I have thought a lot about this idea of generational curses. And let me just remind you that just because you came from a line of sin doesn't mean it has to continue, because the amazing part is grace. God gives us grace, and we can be the ones to step out and say, no, this generational sin stops with me. These generational curses, these things that have been carried down and throughout our family, it stops with me, because we have a new heritage in Christ. When it says that he is our father, we are adopted sons and daughters into the family of God, which means we don't have to follow along that family line. And so if you are somebody that is thinking through this and thinking, man, I have no hope, I want to tell you, friend, you do, because you are a son or daughter of God, and his heritage is your heritage. His lineage is your lineage. And so let that be a little place of hope as we think about their story. We think about how it could go if we follow along with the enemy's plan for our lives. But instead, let us be people, let us be women that stand up and say, no more. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the way that your word reveals your heart and your character and your nature, and the example that it gives us for when we are not following your plan and the danger that's there. Lord, we see in Ada and Zillah's story how disrupting your plan and buying into the lies of the enemy can have terrible consequences, sometimes for generations to come. So Lord, I pray that today, right now, this day, we would take a stand and we would break those generational curses that have been passed down to us, Lord, and that we would start generational blessings from this moment forward in our own families, in our own children, in our own marriages. Lord, I thank you for the way that you continue to reveal yourself and teach us about you in your word. I pray for a blessing, a generational blessing over my friends that are listening today. In Jesus' name, amen. The Hearing Jesus podcast is so excited to partner with Compassion International. We believe in Compassion's mission to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. I've seen the impact myself through the letters and the updates that I've received as a sponsor. It's not just changing the lives of children, it's changing entire families, whole communities, always through the local church and always in Jesus' name. When you sponsor a child, you ensure access to quality education, medical checkups, healthy food, clean water, and most importantly, the love of Jesus, delivered through a church in their community because of a generous, caring sponsor like you. And you can speak life, love, and hope to your sponsored child through personal letters that you'll exchange. I hope you'll join me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. All you have to do is pull out your phone, open up a text, and text Hearing Jesus to 83393. You'll get back a text with a picture of a child who is waiting for a sponsor and a link to sponsor that child. You can also go to compassion.com/hearingjesus to choose a boy or a girl to sponsor. When you sponsor a child, we will send you a copy of She Hears, Learning to Listen to Jesus, my Bible study, as a token of our thanks for investing in the life of a child. Thank you for joining me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. Hey friends, if this podcast helped encourage, empower, or equip you in your walk with God, I would love it if you would head over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a review. That's the number one way you can support my show. You can also join our free Facebook community or Instagram page where I share inspirational tips, bonus content, resources, and prayer throughout the week. Hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you. Know that you are so loved. Keep going.